on today's Keys for Kids Connect podcast.
We've seen over 13,000 people text in to give their lives to Christ.
I wanted to make cookies to raise money to make the storytellers.
There's just not a lot of resources in their own native tongue that could really hit home.
There's so much brokenness, divorce, suicidal pregnancies.
Welcome to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast, a podcast that's designed to keep donors and friends of the ministry informed about various parts of Keys for Kids. We talk to partners, donors who use our resources, and ministry leaders who can help us pray for worldwide evangelism and discipleship. Well, today, we have a lot on our agenda. We'll be talking with one of our partners, the Three Heath Brothers. They're currently on tour with Winter Jam. We'll also talk to an 8-year-old who will be impacting 1,500 Nepali speakers with more than cookies. And I attended Mission Fest Manitoba just recently and caught up with three ministries working with kids. But first, I got a text message this week from Lynette. She's our dedicated staff prayer warrior. And if you donate, you hear from Lynette. She's so sweet. Anyway, it said, exciting news from SD, South Dakota. And then she told us about an 8-year-old named Macy, who's a new donor to our Storyteller Ministries. Well, that kind of impressed me. So, by the way, Storytellers are solar-powered MP3 players with an audio Bible on part of it, and then more than 300 Keys for Kids audio stories loaded on them. Of course, they're in different languages. One of them happens to be Nepali. Well, I had to talk to her. So I called her mom, Emily, and she allowed us to speak. So here's Macy via Zoom on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I got a really cool email from somebody in my office saying that you heard something pretty exciting on the radio. Tell me what exactly happened.
Well, I was listening to Keys for Kids, and then I heard it, and it said they were making, storytellers. And for kids in Nepal, and you could pay $20 to make one, and then it could go to like 150 kids.
So from there, what happened?
Well, I asked my parents if I could do it, and they said yes. So I decided I wanted to make cookies to raise money to get the storytellers.
Oh, so you you made the cookies, and I'm guessing that you sold them, or maybe people gave a donation for them?
Yep.
How many cookies did you have to make?
Like 10 and a half dozen.
What? That's a lot of cookies.
Uh-huh.
And people bought cookies. How much money were you able to raise by selling cookies?
$200.
$200 for cookies?
Yep.
That's amazing. So do you know that $200 will buy 10 storytellers, right? And 10 storytellers, about 150 people will hear that. So that's 1,500 people will be able to hear the message of the gospel because of what God did through you. That's pretty amazing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it really is.
Thanks, Macy. Well, the fundraising push was part of our effort to meet a 1,000 storyteller request from Good News Nepal. The good news is that thanks to Macy and many other people like her, God provided that need and then some. Thanks to gifts and pledges of more than $20,000, we'll be sending more than 1,000 units to Nepal sometime in March. On average, 150 people will listen to each storyteller device, and that means more than 150,000 people will hear the gospel and grow in their faith. We're just thrilled. So thank you very much if you were a part of that. Well, we do have another need for the storyteller. There's a brand new request for 500 units in the Albanian language. That's a $10,000 need. So pray that God will provide for that as soon as possible. By the way, if you'd like to help support that, go to keysforkids.org/storyteller. Well, you may know about our devotionals for kids and teens, but did you know we have a ministry to parents too? It's called Parent Minute. Not only is it a daily radio program on Christian radio stations in the United States, but we also provide a daily parenting tip via email. Sign up for the Parent Minute tip of the day at parentminute.org. That's parentminute.org. Well, for several years now, Keys for Kids Ministries has been partnering with the Three Heath Brothers. They're a Christian singing group from Thomasville, North Carolina, a set of twins and an older brother. Now in their 20s, they're simply amazing. They're so talented. They love Jesus. And these guys are invited into public schools. So we've been providing them with devotionals from Keys for Kids Ministries. In fact, any student who wants one can get one. And to date, more than 30,000 Keys for Kids devotionals for kids and Unlocked devotionals for teens have been handed out to public school students. Well, why are we talking about them today? Well, because they're on tour for the first time with Winter Jam. Well, what an amazing opportunity for these guys. And not only have they been able to sing to tens of thousands of people, but they've also been able to hand out our custom Keys for Kids and Unlocked devotionals to families at Winter Jam. They actually have a Three Heath Brothers cover on them. It's really cool looking. Anyway, I caught up with the guys on February 28th. Thanks for taking some time out of your busy Winter Jam, busy schedule. Obviously, we're recording this on the last day of February, and so you got like a whole month to go yet. But first of all, this has been going on since what? Tell me when. When did you start? When did you start this tour?
We started like the second week of January. January 9th was our first date. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely, it's been an insane ride. Yeah. We're a little over halfway done. We've got about 16 or 17 more shows to do.
40 cities in total. And yeah, just to see thousands of people every single night and people at the table.
Yeah.
Just watching God work is such a cool thing.
God is so good. I was standing backstage two nights ago and just listening to Chris Tomlin and Holy Forever, and I've just got chills, and I'm just like, God, why us? Like, why have you placed us in this moment in time? And so we're just so blessed to be a part of an amazing team. We've seen over 13,000 people text in to give their lives to Christ.
Wow.
That's the number I heard a week ago. I'm sure it's grown by now, but it's just a beautiful, it's like honestly like a family. We have a family out on tour, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing to be a part of. And we're so thankful that we have this amazing, incredible opportunity. And if you haven't seen us yet, we have quite a few more shows left all over the place, from Indiana to Iowa to
Michigan
to all over the place. So come out, see us. It's a great night, and stay to the end.
Okay, before I go any further, I got to hear all of you. What did you think of when you were going through, like, okay, we're going to be in Winter Jam. What is this going to be like? What did you think it was going to be like? Let's start with Christian first.
I definitely didn't expect. You always have to make sure. I mean, it's a big tour. A lot of things happen in the big tour, and you never know. Everyone has to do their job. And so I didn't know. I was expecting maybe a few more, just not unfriendliness, but, you know, just everyone's doing their job as they should. But we've been really welcomed by everybody on the team. I was telling the guys, I've not met somebody yet who's been snobby or stuck up in any way, shape, or form. And that was a pleasant surprise to me, because I mean, this is our first arena tour and something like this, and so just to have honest, godly people that care about you. And a few instances where the headliner artist would just, you know, invite me to their table for supper or for lunch, and just stuff like that where they don't have to go the extra mile, but they have. And they really care about us, and they want us to win too. So it's not like a competitive thing with all the other
artists. It's almost like we're like a part of the family of God or something. And it's like really cool. But no, it really is.
Well, Clayton, what were your expectations when you first came in?
Yeah, same as Christian. I expected it just to be a go-go-go situation, and it has been. Like, one night you're in Cincinnati, Ohio, and then literally you drive, and the next show is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so just those, you know, time changes and all this stuff, everyone's getting adjusted. But probably my favorite part was getting to see they have this thing called Jam Church on Sunday mornings, and really it's – super cool because all the artists, we have a time where we get in a room and we
and
have
all like, the crew
and all yeah. the crew. We get an acoustic guitar and just have a little worship. And then the Zane Black, who is the speaker for this year,
right.
He has a message prepared for us every Sunday morning. And that's been so cool just to like be with, you know, other people who, you know, every night we're trying to give as much as we can give to the audience. Yep. Right. And hear, you know, to hear 50 people in a room mm-hmm. who, you know, our job is to always, you know, be on the stage and present the gospel, but to actually just, you know, worship and yeah. take in what the mm-hmm. sermon had for that morning. Yeah. We're yeah. so grateful. So yeah, that has been really, really cool. I wasn't expecting that from Jam Church. That's been probably one of my favorite parts every week. Mm-hmm. And in yep. Spain.
Yeah. All right, Nicholas. I saw. Yeah, I think, did I see tears in your eyes, or did I see tiredness, or both?
No. You probably saw a little of both. I don't know. No, honestly, we had a 12 or 14, 15 city Christmas tour, so we got off of that.
Well, yeah, you came to Grand Rapids for that one of those. Yeah,
right. Yeah, exactly. Right. And so we were doing that. And what a lot of people don't know is like on this tour, a lot of other people are doing the production stuff. They're hanging the lights, all that stuff. We are helping out with merch and putting our stuff in, our equipment, whatever. But on our Christmas shows and our regular shows, we're doing all the production with some help from some other amazing people. And so because of that, we're up at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, and we go until about 1 or 2 in the morning, and we're loading out. We're doing the entire two-hour performance or whatever it is, signing afterwards and tearing down everything. So it's crazy. So we thought we would have time to figure out our set, figure out our band, all of that. Well, God gave us two guys to come along with us and be a part of our band. And he knew we needed these guys because our drummer is incredible. Our bass player is incredible. Men of God, they love God, mm-hmm. love people. And I think that has been the thing that I was, expectations wise, I wasn't sure how that was going to work. We've never traveled with a full band like that before. It's always been us playing the instruments. Mm-hmm. And so for us to have those guys come in and then for it to tighten up and really become a really, really cool thing on stage, that's been amazing. The crowd response has been amazing. And I think just the arrangement of our set from top to bottom is something I wasn't expecting it to go so smoothly mm-hmm. and for the response to be so good.
Yeah.
So many people have been so kind, stopping by our table, some kids coming up and telling us we were their favorite set of the night, even though we're an great opener and, you know, all of that. It's just been an incredible thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. You're listening to the Three Heath Brothers on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. We'll have more in just a minute. We'll support our partnership with the Three Heath Brothers. Each year, the Three Heath Brothers are invited into dozens of public schools. Unfortunately, they can't get to all of them because of time and money. Well, we're partnering with them in reaching public school kids through our Keys for Kids and Unlock devotionals. Now, if you'd like to support this ministry, just go to keysforkids.org/schools. $3,000 helps cover the cost of each school. That's time, travel, resources for each public school. If you'd like to help, just go to keysforkids.org/schools. So obviously you guys have been through a lot. I mean, just being on the tour itself has got to be just the most amazing thing. And Nicholas, you were just saying, hey, if we stopped right now, like, this would be the best thing in the world. But in terms of ministry, are there stories that you can tell us, obviously without mentioning names, where you guys have literally seen life change?
Yeah, man. I mean, so many people have come to us telling us they got saved. So many come, we go out into the lines beforehand to sing to everybody, even if it's freezing cold. Yesterday it was pouring down rain. We went out there and I think people have come up and they've been like, and thank you. That means so much to us that you have come out into the lines to say hi to us mm-hmm. and to do all of this. And we had a guy come up during one of our question and answer sessions. I think it was us and Chris Tomlin and Holvey, and we were up there on stage and he said, man, and we're used to Chris obviously gets a lot of questions. Holby gets a lot of questions. You know, we're still starting out. But this guy came up and he said, hey, I have a comment for the Three Heath Brothers. He said, man, you guys let me sing with you. Because we pick people out of the crowd. And he said, you guys let me sing with you. And I got to tell you, like, I've been going through a lot of loss of life in my family life recently. My mom has cancer, I believe he said. And he said, my dog died yesterday. He was just revealing all of these terrible things that were happening to him. And he said, thank you so much for sharing the love of Christ with me and letting me come out and sing with you guys in the line. That meant so much. Mm. And to us, like that, yes, is it fun to sing to 10,000 people like we did last night in Raleigh, North Carolina? Absolutely. But that right there, the fact that we got to encourage that guy, and if you think of it, pray for him, his name's Andrew. The fact that we got to encourage that guy is just as important as all the other ministry that's going on.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah, there's, yeah.
You're saying?
No, you're good. On top of that, like there's been, even from inside the set, even though we have a certain amount of time with him, people have come up and say, that Trust You song that you did, that just made me cry so much. Mm-hmm. That's just I've been really going through stuff like that. So it's amazing the power of music,
yeah,
and the power of the gospel.
And we love it too, because a lot of young people come up to the booth, because some of them want to buy merch, some of them just want to say hey or get a picture. And several times it's been really cool, because like if there's not a line or anything like that, if there's like a bunch of young people, whatever, we start talking or whatever, and then sometimes it turns out like we end up having prayer, like we just like, you know, kind of because the next generation is here and they're hungry, and I see got a huge potential in these young people that come to these booths. And so just trying to be an encouragement all around, whether it's in the lines, praying at the booth, or on stage, you know, Lord willing, you know, I pray that at the full extent wherever we go, you know, we try to represent Christ.
Really. Now, obviously, so. You guys, we've been partnering together, the Three Heath Brothers and Keys for Kids Ministries, for, I think this is our third year? I think it's our third year.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, and you guys have just graciously handed out our Keys for Kids and our Unlock devotionals, you know, in public schools, et cetera. Obviously, the public school thing's on hiatus right now, but I'm assuming you've been able to hand out Keys for Kids and Unlocked at some of these venues.
Yes.
How has that been going? Just curious.
It's been great. It's honestly, people come up to us and they are, and it depends on the venue, because sometimes if we have the devotionals sitting on the table, sometimes depending on where we are in the arena. But everyone goes, so what are these? And we say, no, you don't understand. This is free, and you get to take this home with you. And this is something that if you have any grandkids or children or any relatives like that, and then you want a daily reading devotional, this is what we do in our public school ministry. And then their eyes lighten up. A lot of people are very fascinated with the public school ministry. And so because at first, you know, they think, okay, I really don't want to sign up for something, you know, that I'm going to have to like charge or whatever. But thanks to Keys for Kids Ministries, you know, we can actually pass out all these devotions.
It's an easy process.
It really is. Because the goal is, you know, to get young people in the Word, right? And mm-hmm. to get them to actually, you know,
amen.
Be encouraged, but also, you know, you got to on the daily be seeking God and seeking Christ on a daily basis. So that's been really cool, especially with the devotional, just because, you know, not all groups have something like that. I didn't even have, this is another situation, but like a young lady came up to me and she had just given her life to Christ like that night or whatever. And so she was asking for a Bible or whatever. And so like stuff like that, opportunities like that just become great, to where you can show them, hey, you know, well, first let's find you a Bible. Or if you don't have a physical Bible around, let's show you the Bible app. But also, you know, Keys for Kids has been a great, you know, easier segue of someone just also to stay continually in the Word. So,
absolutely.
It's awesome.
How can we pray for you guys?
It's great. Man, pray for wisdom, vocals. Yeah, pray for our voices, pray for wisdom, and just pray that we would keep the main thing the main thing. Mm-hmm. I know I say that a lot, that phrase, keep the main thing the main thing. But, like, you know, we truly have to trust God with all of this, with the connections being made, with the people that we're meeting, with the fans, all of that. We have to trust him with it, because he's brought us this far. His plans are better than our plans. His ways are higher than our ways. And so if we can just keep him and seek him first, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added onto you. And so it's like so simple, but it's easy when you're in the grind of things to just be like, well, I need to do this, and I need to, whoa, merch sales. Like we got to pay for stuff.
Or the bus won't start.
Right.
Yeah, like last night, the bus won't start.
Yeah.
And it's easy to just, and I'm not saying just like not turn the key to start the bus, because God's in control. Like, you know what I mean? We're going to work hard. We're going to do our best. You have to be smart. You have to work very hard. But the same time, you got to let go and let God do his thing as well. And so that's one thing that we're trying to do. So pray that we'll keep that in our forefront, in our sights.
100%.
And our crew. And our crew.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Our crew's going through a lot with, that sounds bad. They're not struggling. They're doing great. We're having the time of our lives. But, you know, it's a grueling thing. And also the devil doesn't like what we're doing.
I do
believe there's a lot of spiritual warfare at work. And, you know, with so many different people being stuck on a bus together, and you're going through, okay, let's change this about the set, or let's change this about the, you know, so many different things. There's a lot of selfishness that can get in the way with me and with everyone else. And so we just want to pray that God would be at the forefront of our thinking. Mm-hmm. If we all know that we're doing this for the King, then all the other stuff falls into place.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Yes. Well, you guys, we love you guys. We appreciate you guys taking some time out. I know you guys are busy. The last thing you want to do is talk to an old dude like me, but I appreciate you. Really appreciate you guys.
Love talking to you, Greg.
Can't wait to see you in Grand Rapids.
Yes, we will see you next week. We'll be ready with, I don't know, bells on, wings on, I don't know, whatever. We'll be there. Right. We'll be there.
Earplugs on.
Sometimes. Because sometimes you have to feel the bass. You have to feel it.
Yes.
You will feel it.
You'll be feeling it. All right.
Well, you will love the Van Andel Arena. It is a great venue. It's a really neat place. But probably they all blend together after a while.
No, there are good arenas and there are not so good arenas. There's no such thing as a bad arena for us. We've never been in arenas before. But there are some that you're like, yeah, this is a little older. This is not as nice as the one before, you know.
But we love them all.
They're all going to be filled with people who need to hear about the message of Jesus, and that's what's important. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're here.
Amen. Three Heath Brothers, we love you guys. We will see you in just a week or so.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Have a good one. We'll see you.
Thanks, man.
The Three Heath Brothers on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. If you'd like to see the Three Heath Brothers at Winter Jam, all you need is $15 and a location. You can find a tour stop near you at jamtour.com. That's jamtour.com. And click on Cities. By the way, we'll be sponsoring the stop in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area on March 8th at the Van Andel Arena. Hopefully, we will see you there. Up next, Mission Fest Manitoba. Well, I was able to be a part of that amazing missions conference in Winnipeg, Manitoba. This was our second year in a row, and it was great, not just to get connected with our Canadian subscribers and partners, but also find out how God is using other ministries to see kids, teens, and families grow in Christ in Canada. One of the ministries I talked with was E3 Partners. Now, if you've seen the I Am Second videos on YouTube, you probably at least know a little bit about their ministry. Alicia was at the E3 Partners booth, which was right next to the Keys for Kids Ministries booth. They have a strong interest in using our devotionals if we could translate into the languages in which they're working. Well, here's that conversation.
Hi, my name is Alicia.
All right, Alicia. Well, we are talking about your ministry. Can we mention your ministry?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're actually next door to each other right now at E3 Partners. You are our next door partners, and we're at Mission Fest here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And we just happen to be next to each other. God just orchestrated that. And I know it's amazing how that happens. But you have a unique story in that you're from a place that hasn't got a lot of resources, but yet you guys are still doing work there. Talk about where you're working and the challenges that you're facing.
Yeah, so we work in a place where it's 0.03% Christians, that includes all denominations. And so when we say that the church is quite literally dying out, we mean it seriously. And our youth is not where we would like it to be. And unfortunately, when we do have youth coming in, whether it's little kids or teenagers or college age, there's just not a lot of resources. So they're kind of just stuck with the rest of the groups, and nothing is tailored to them specifically. So that's nothing really for Sunday school programs that we can use, or even just sharing for kids to share with other kids, because that's a really big part of a ministry there, is that we teach children how to share their faith
with other Muslims. And so there's just not a lot of resources, or I should say not a lot of current resources, whether it be devotionals or Sunday school materials.
So as you and I were talking, obviously we have Keys for Kids and Unlocked devotionals that we're translating into Russian and Ukrainian. You noticed the Russian right away.
Yeah, so we are in part of the world that still speaks Russian, but that is a secondary language. It's not their heart language. Unfortunately, there's just not a lot of resources in their own native tongue that could really hit home to really resonate and grow them spiritually.
So as you were looking at our Russian, is that something that could potentially help in your area of the world in which you're working?
Yeah, it's great that it's in Russian because it's that much easier to actually translate it into a local language.
So is it something that you could use in whatever languages? What languages would be helpful for you?
Yeah, there are just lots of different languages. There's probably over 50 that are spoken amongst these countries, and they're all Turkic-based. So Kyrgyz, Kazakh, Uzbek, Uyghur, Dungan. So there's just so many options that we could potentially use.
And many of these kids are open to hearing the gospel, open to hearing things about Jesus?
They're open to building relationships with our believers that are in country.
And so how easy is it to potentially share the gospel once you're in country and you win that trust?
Yeah, that trust definitely takes a little bit of time. You have to build a relationship. It's not, hey, I'm a believer and I'd love to share the good news. Unfortunately, that's not our reality there. So because of that, we have to first build a strong foundation with these people, and for kids to share with other kids, they have to become friends. And then after that relationship grows, they're able to share the gospel.
What would you say is the status of the church in the areas in which you're working?
The church is hungry and eager to grow, but we're still hitting a lot of roadblocks when it comes to government restrictions. They're changing on a daily basis what we're allowed to print, what we're allowed to share, and how we're allowed to gather.
What is a prayer need that we could be praying about?
I think a prayer need is a unity in Central Asia and amongst those countries so that we can unilaterally just go up against what we're battling there. So,
in terms of Mission Fest, how cool is Mission Fest, and what have you gotten out of it so far? Obviously, it's just day two. But.
Yeah, it's day two. It just seems so short. I wish it could go longer. It's been a blast getting to know other people's hearts and how excited they are for different parts of the world. So it's been great.
That's Alicia with E3 Partners on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. You can find out more about E3 Partners at e3partners.org. Are you looking to make a lasting impact on kids, teens, and families worldwide? Join the Keys for Kids Ministries Key Club. As a monthly donor, your consistent support helps share the gospel year-round, providing life-changing biblical resources to those who need them most. Whether you choose to give $10, $15, $25, $50, or more each month, your generosity ensures that more young hearts hear about Jesus. Plus, as a token of our appreciation, we'll send you a special thank you package. Visit keysforkids.org/keyclub to join today and make an eternal difference. Together, we can ignite a passion for Christ in the next generation. Next, One Hope Canada is another ministry I've gotten to know over the years. One, because our church supports missionary Mark Mast and his family. They work in Rainy River, Ontario. And second, because I got to spend some time with them last year at Mission Fest. Kathy Weir works with One Hope's camping ministry, and she joined me at Mission Fest Manitoba. Well, let's talk about the ministry that you guys do. Can you just describe it in a nutshell?
One Hope Canada has multiple ministries across Canada from coast to coast. Probably about 42 of those would be camp ministries and like schools, teaching Bible in the schools. Just different events and things that are held. But yeah, most of it is camping ministry.
Yeah, that's great. I know that the camping ministry is important because obviously you work with Mark Mast, right?
Yes, we've worked in camping for 45 years.
Oh, that's awesome.
We've just started a new role, and so we get to support our missionaries from coast to coast and just help them with their partnership teams and just encouragement and, just helping them to keep focused. And we had the privilege of visiting all of our camps in Ontario, Quebec, and the East Coast this past summer, and just so impressed with the intentionality of these young people that are there to share the gospel.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome. Well, I love camp ministry as well, but one of the things that I'm always curious about when we travel all over the place and come to places like Mission Fest is, especially when we deal with organizations like you're dealing with kids all the time. What are some of the issues that you're seeing, especially like camps? Obviously, you're dealing with camps all over the country. What are some of the issues that kids are facing right now?
Everything you can think of. There's so much brokenness, divorce, suicidal, pregnancies. They're facing so many challenges, questioning their gender. So just trying to help walk them through some of these really difficult, challenging situations that they're facing. A lot that we didn't have 40 years ago when we were growing up, you know. So.
Well, how do you address that? Obviously, as a support for camp ministries, how do you help with that?
We have resources that we can, you know, direct them to. Just those one-on-one conversations, you know, when the kids are asking questions and what does the Bible say about this and that. So we're able to show them from God's Word why we believe what we believe. And, expressing and showing God's love, not so much accepting different things that our world is teaching them, but just helping them to see the truth and the love of God that's extended to them. And, that the help that's there and available.
So Mission Fest, this is my second Mission Fest. How many Mission Fests is it for you?
It's only our second as well.
Oh, is it really?
It
okay.
is. So.
Well, what is Mission Fest like for you? For us, I just get to meet people and see people that have used Keys for Kids Ministries forever. And I met a donor today that I had never met him before. Yeah. And he and his wife were here. They came by and I got a chance to, you know, visit with them a little bit. What is it for you?
I love connecting with different mission points here. And again, with Keys for Kids, our kids grew up listening to Uncle Charlie and Keys for Kids and these devotional books. And so now I can pick some up to take back to my grandkids. And so I'm loving that. But just seeing the heart and the passion of all these different mission organizations, and together we're there to impact, you know, the kingdom of God and want to see people come to Christ.
One of the things that I'm hearing consistently throughout the venue here is that the struggle is, how do we get parents to disciple their kids? Is that something that you're experiencing too? Like, is it a struggle?
It absolutely is. I mean, we're finding even from Christian families of kids coming to church. I mean, sorry, kids coming to camp. So many of those kids are biblically illiterate. You know, they've got hockey, they've got baseball, they've got all these different things, so they're not in church regularly. You know, the kids are coming home tired, they're involved in so many activities, and so, you know, they get put into bed, you know, hugged, kissed, say their prayers, and but they're not being taught the Word of God. And so that's it's very challenging, and it's so important. You know, years ago, kids were memorizing 500 verses to come to camp free, and now, you know, you think it's a big chore to get them to memorize one verse in a week.
Right, exactly. Well, what is a prayer request that you have for your ministry? Can you share that?
I definitely would say it would have to be just for our strong godly teams for working in each of our ministry points. You know, that intentionality, that passion to live and share Christ with these kids, and just to see them grow in their faith. I think camp is just as much for our ministry teams as it is for the campers, and them being stretched out of their comfort zone and having to depend on God for those answers, that these tough questions these kids are asking. And so they have to dig deeper and know what they believe and why too. So I think it's tremendous opportunities.
Good. Well, Kathy Weir, thank you so much for being a part of our Keys for Kids Connect podcast from One Hope Canada. Thanks so much for being a part of it. We appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless.
Kathy Weir with One Hope Canada on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. It's March. You made a resolution back in January to read the Bible with the kids in your life, and for whatever reason, you stopped. That's okay. Use this as a kick in the pants to start over again. Sign up to get a Keys for Kids or Unlock Devotional or both, each in their own way, are designed to not only introduce kids and teens to Jesus, but help them grow in their faith as you do it together. You might even learn something too. Get your subscription at devo.keysforkids.org or download the apps Search for Keys for Kids or Unlocked at your favorite app store and download yours today. And finally, Gospel for Asia has been an organization that I've come to know and love over the years. The late K.P. Yohannan, the founder and former president, was a dear friend of mine. In fact, he wrote a book called Revolution in World Missions, and it changed my life and how I think about world missions today. GFA was also at Mission Fest Manitoba, and so was K.P.'s son, Bishop Daniel. He's next on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. It's great to catch up with some good old friends. I don't mean you're old or anything, but Bishop Daniel, it's great to have you here with Gospel for Asia.
Yeah, and I'm really glad to be here. So happy.
I loved your dad. Your dad was just such an inspiration to me. I loved his book. We were friends. We talked regularly, and I miss it. I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you for your prayers. I really appreciate it, and it's good to be here with you also at Missions Fest all the way up in Manitoba.
Yeah, how are you dealing with this? Because you live in Texas, right?
Yeah, it's a little different, like 70 degrees different.
You're right.
But I'm doing okay. It's good to be here. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people here, a lot of booths. Yeah. It's exciting to be here.
Okay, for those people who don't know anything about GFA, what is GFA? What do you guys do?
Yeah, so GFA World started about 46 years ago with a small prayer meeting in my parents' living room, asking God, what is it that you want us to do in terms of missions? And from that very small beginning, four things kind of became the focus. Raising up national missionaries, people from their own country who know the language, like the bugs, like the climate, easily connect with people, the language. Second is assisting children to have an education in the future. At one point, we had about 86,000 kids we were helping. And then disaster relief, like what we've seen in Nepal or other places, flooding, earthquakes, and then community transformation. What I mean by that is seeing what are the needs within the community. Sometimes it's water, sometimes it's education, but ultimately to see a church established in that village so that there's permanency, kind of what we see in the book of Acts, exactly what we're doing. So those became really the focuses of GFA World. But our primary heart is this, to know Christ and then to make him known from that overflow of love for God that we want to serve others.
So this is like one of those things that you've taken it from your dad who started the ministry. Now you've taken the next generation and really adapting to where the culture is, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, you know, I had the privilege of walking with my dad for many, many years, both on the mission field and here, serving alongside of him. And so got to see my dad being the same person at home as he was on the mission field in public. And his heart so much was to love God, but also his heart broke so much for the loss. And he genuinely lived that out, and he wanted everyone else to join him on that journey also.
That's awesome. Now, when I talk about obviously, Keys for Kids Ministries, we are dealing with kids and teens, and we're hearing all kinds of things that are happening. And we work here, obviously, in Canada. We work in the United States and other places. Same as with some of the places where you're working. And some of the things that we're seeing are anxiety, fear, depression, uncertainty. And yet, there still seems to be a craving to know truth. Is that what you're seeing, too, with kids and teens that you're dealing with?
Yeah, you know, I think what we're seeing all around the world is there's this genuine hunger in people's hearts. And I don't know if it's just an overstimulation of social media or just being marketed to from every single angle. But people have this emptiness and longing in their heart that they want to know God. They want to have a genuine relationship, encounter with God. In my dad's words, the kids walk through the wardrobe to Narnia and their hearts were never the same. That's what young people want today. They want to encounter God in a significant way, not just know more about him. And we're seeing that everywhere. But you are right. Like, people are facing anxiety and fear and worry. Some of that's left over from COVID. Some of it is just the world we live in is just chaotic right now. But the answer is the same. Really, it is found in Christ that we have peace.
When we talk about kids and families, et cetera, I mean, obviously GFA Worldwide, you guys, GFA World, you guys have done a lot of things with a lot of different demographics within that range. Is there something specific for kids and teens that you guys are working on? Is there a glut of information or glut of resources for that? Or is there something that really you feel like there's a hole for something that we need to do more?
Yeah, I think there's several things. Many of the places that we serve in on the mission field, many of these villages are so remote that kids don't have the opportunity to get educated. I mean, I know it sounds so basic, but if you don't know how to read and write, you are stuck, and very often the family is stuck in a cycle of poverty. And so for them, just to be able to go to school, to be able to read and write, that lifts them up out of their poverty and puts them on a course to be able to have a future. The other thing that may not be something that people think about is when a community that's really far off doesn't have access to clean water, it's usually the girls and the women who have to travel sometimes miles away to get water. And that prevents these young girls from getting educated. They can't go to school because they're fetching water. But also that's where they could be attacked by animals like tigers in some of these places, or be kidnapped and pulled into sex trade. So clean water really does provide the opportunity to prevent them from harm and danger. And I know that is not something that maybe is just the root of anxiety, but when you live day to day wondering where your next meal may come from, if you're going to have food at all, I mean, for example, I was in Rwanda a couple of months ago and we got to go visit a home, and I asked if we could walk through the home, just want to be honoring to them. And I looked in the kitchen and there was like a plate and a cup. And then I saw a wood fire that had gone out, and in that bowl there was a little bit of food, and that was like part of a one meal for the whole family, and they might not eat anything for the next day. And then I went to the next room, and there was like a bed sheet with some bricks holding the bed sheet down, and I said, "What is that?" And that's the kid's bed. They sleep on the floor. And so you live in that kind of condition where there's almost like this helplessness. There's no way out. There's no light at the end of the tunnel type of thing. And when our missionaries are going in and not just sharing with them about Christ, but showing them here are the steps to help you get through this, there's joy, there's hope, and it opens the door for them to hear about Christ.
As you are obviously here at Mission Fest, what is the goal here today for you guys?
Yeah, you know, the goal for us is, one, to encourage people to take missions seriously. The topic of missions can be very confusing when you walk through 6,000 booths, or, you know, whether it's here or anywhere else, and missions seem to be everything and anything that's labeled as missions. But realistically, missions has to be focused on people coming to Christ and churches being planted in a community. And everything else is wonderful, ministry or whatever else it is. And so our goal is to be an encouragement for people to seriously pray about how their life can be connected in some way to reach those who are still waiting to hear the gospel. You know, we have billions of people around the world who either don't know Christ or have limited access to the gospel. And so then the question is, what am I going to do with my life? I hope that every person here gets a copy of Revolution World Missions over there, come to our booth and get it. You know, my dad didn't invent national missions, but I will say he brought it to the forefront. And walking through many of these booths, everyone is doing national missions to some extent. That's because of my dad. He's the one who pushed it forward. And I'm so grateful he did, because that really is a significant way to reach the gospel to the whole world.
Well, that book changed my life. Yeah. It did change my life.
Yeah.
Prayer requests. Give me a couple.
Yeah. One is to pray for our work in Africa. We got our hospital that is being finished up, hopefully by summertime, having the soft launch. That is a vision for medical and missions for all of East Africa and all of Africa. We're going to see all these nations in Africa reached with Christ, but the hub is Rwanda and our hospital there. Second is that we would see national missionaries raised up in Africa in each of these nations, and also that we would see kids being helped in every one of these nations. Really, the children are the future of the church and missions and everything ahead of us.
All right, Bishop Daniel, thanks for being our guest today on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. We appreciate you. We'll be praying for you, and I appreciate your friendship too, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bishop Daniel, with Gospel for Asia on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Today, we talked with an 8-year-old girl, Macy, who's helping Keys for Kids and Good News Nepal reach 1,500 people in Nepal. We caught up with the Three Heath Brothers, our public school ministry partner, currently on tour with Winter Jam, and three interviews from Mission Fest Manitoba. Thank you for listening to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. It's a monthly podcast designed to update donors and friends of Keys for Kids Ministries. Now, if you have a heart and passion for reaching kids, teens, and families worldwide with the liberating power of the gospel, please like and share this podcast with friends and families. And by the way, if you have a cool Keys for Kids story or testimony and want to be featured on the podcast, email me at greg@keysforkids.org. That's greg@keysforkids.org. Until next time, keep pointing kids to Jesus. I'm Greg Yoder.